Okay, there you go. Thank you everyone for coming. There's a question that's always asked when a Jew comes into this world, right? They always come with one thing, and that thing is purpose. What's purpose? What is everyone's purpose? Is something you come? Do you come out of the womb with purpose? Are you graduating college and all of a sudden you have some type of purpose? So, for a Jew specifically, when we talk about purpose, the whole idea is that we want to go through our entire life and we want to work towards a purpose. Meaning that it's not one specific thing that you're in this world for. It's you're here, even being here right now, it's part of your ultimate purpose that you have in your life. This is a stop. This shiur, coming to the shiur, is a stop in your life of having a purpose. When you reach 120 and you go up to heaven, and one of the questions God asks is, you know, you had a chance to be great, and you know, did you achieve that? And there's a rabbi, I forgot the rabbi's name, but
what's it about? I can tell you.
It's fine. But basically, there's a rabbi that says that there's going to be a great person behind the curtain, and God is going to open the curtain. He's going to show you that's who you could have became. And so everybody should ask themselves, how would you feel if not even that you would see that that's where you could have been? But there's something that, you know, an easy way to look at life and how you want your life to go is if they were writing a book about you, and the book was going to be published, let's say, in 3 years from now.
Wow.
What would you want that book to say in the next 3 years? So it's not that chas v'shalom that your life should be, you know, in 3 years from now, that's what the book should be. It's more that you have to have a drive and you have to push, have an effort that's so driven that in 3 years from now, you'll be able to accomplish instead of what you could have accomplished 20 years. Why? Because you put extra effort and extra drive. So everybody that's here today, you're working towards your purpose, and it's amazing to see everybody here, including me, including Jonathan. We're nowhere near perfect. We have a lot of struggles. I was eating non-kosher 2 years ago. Like, I have a lot. I have. It's a different story for a different time.
Talk.
I felt plenty of times in my life. It was a story for a different time. That's the whole thing. We all have struggles.
Say the story.
And we're all here to work together on it, and you know.
Say the story.
To have a part. Which story?
Talk about your.
You say it.
Yeah.
No problem.
You guys want to hear? I want to hear.
I'll say the story. I was living in Houston for about 3 years.
I'm gonna cry soon.
I was I came in there regular yeshiva guy, whatever. I was not yeshiva, but like I went to yeshiva growing up and everything. And I started to kind of get depressed over there. I was working, I was going in the middle of nowhere in Texas, and didn't know what I was doing there. Why was I living there? I thought maybe the rent is cheaper, that's why I'm there. You know, because...
Houston Rockets aren't that
good. Yeah, the Houston Rockets, there's science, there's NASA. So, turns out I'm there, and I'm working, and my job was to basically go to customers' houses. And I would drive around different areas, places, literally nothing exists. You're driving 5 minutes just to get into the guy's house. That's how long it takes to get down the driveway. And, you know, I started to kind of get depressed. And I started thinking to myself, you know, and I never had a problem with not kosher. I never had a problem with those types of things. And I was like, you know what, look, let me taste these things. Let me try it out. First thing, Burger King, it's not bad, it's good. The next thing I went to try the real Texas barbecue, smoked meats, all this craziness. And I was enjoying it, it was good stuff, I'm not gonna say it's bad. But inside, I realized something. As I'm eating these things, all these non-kosher places, I'm trying the real Mexican food, tacos, this. In my head, I'm thinking while I'm eating it, like I'm eating the taco already. In my head, I'm like, what's past this? What's past this, right? So I'm eating, I'm already delving into the world of the non-Jewish world, right? Where they have all this food, all this good. But what's past this? What's past this is maybe heavy drugs. What's past this is maybe clubbing. What's past this is maybe doing like the averot that are not worth it already. This already, like, okay, you're eating it, it tastes good, but there's no value to it. And what you're doing is you just want to do it. It's not even yitzhara. It's because you want to delve into something that you've never had before. And I was thinking for a very long time, even after I stopped. I was able to stop for, I did it for maybe around 7 months straight. Just different restaurants. I would, in middle of work, like, I'd be looking for lunch near me, what I could taste new. Korean, this, that, what else should I try? And I was able to stop because of one reason. I sat down one day and I was thinking to myself, and I said, if I was to basically, like, during that time I was going through very bad depression, very bad. So I used to constantly think to myself that, like, I'm not gonna live long, like, I'm gonna die maybe, something bad's gonna happen to me. And I sat down one day and I'm thinking, like, I'm already doing all these bad things. God really wants me dead, I should be dead by now. And I really said to myself, look, I'm doing all the, I'm smoking weed all day, I'm eating non-kosher food, I'm just gone, I'm lost, I'm nowhere in this world anymore. And I sat down and I thought to myself, I'm like, if I was really not supposed to be a part of this world, I wouldn't be here today. And, you know, it just kick-started me having to slowly start somewhere. Stop eating the Mexican food. I would drive by the smoked meat place, I wouldn't go. It went from McDonald's burger to a McDonald's fish fillet. So, you know, it's slowly, but I was able to, you know, completely get off of all the non-kosher food and all that. So, you know, I told people the story before that I came to Miami with him because I wanted to move here. And this is when I was already starting to get better in terms of mentally and in terms of religious-wise, I was starting to come back and stop. Like, I was not keeping Shabbat, like, at all. I would sit at home and I would have the TV on and I would sit there, I would watch TV on Shabbat and I would use the remotes, this, that, turn the lights on. And my wife, she was much stronger than me, so she didn't yell at me, she didn't force me to keep anything, but, you know, she would sit there and, you know, I have the TV on, I'm watching, she would sit there, we'll have our Shabbat meal, we'll just eat it on the couch and watch TV. But it didn't feel good. It didn't feel right. It didn't feel like this is Shabbat, this is, you know. And I went back, I came to Miami and I'm, you know, thinking, okay, I like this place. This might be good for me. I'll be able to be religious, raise my kids here religiously. They're going to be good over here. And Jonathan remembers, there comes a time I'm like to him, look, like, we're already starting to get accustomed to this place. We like you and we want to stay here. And I'm like, look, my sister's wedding's in California. I have to go back to Houston. I have to pack my stuff. And I have to go to California. From there, go back to Houston and come to Miami. So I go back, I'm on the flight, I'm thinking in my head while I'm on the flight back, right? I'm with my kids, with my wife, and me and my wife are speaking. We're like, look, like, we want to move, but it's about to cost like $15,000 to move. All our stuff, this, that. And I get to the house, I open the door, everything's turned upside down. My whole apartment's robbed. Everything, documents, electronics, kids' cribs, my beds.
Hashem cleansed them. Hashem cleansed them right before Yom Kippur.
I called my father. I'm like, Dad, like, this is crazy. I don't even know what to think. Like, my kids are crying in the background, screaming. They're like, I don't know what's going on. My dad's like to me, you know what? Like this parasha is lech lecha. It means it's like when Abraham, Hashem told him, go, yeah. Just go. And I remember sitting on the floor in my house, in my apartment. Because the couch was overturned, like, they were clearly looking for money and stuff. I see a bottle of grape soda and a pack of Newport, so I know who did it. But basically, I'm sitting there on the floor and I'm thinking, you know what, Hashem? If you didn't do this to me, I would have never left to Miami. I would have stayed here, I would have sat on my couch, I would have chilled and I would have forgot everything that I thought of coming and leaving and doing all these things and changing and becoming a better person. And you know, I just, the last thing I want to say is that life is extremely funny. Like, one day you're in a place in the middle of nowhere, cowboys, you know, horses, barbecues, and the next day you're here and you're wearing tzitzit and you're helping your friend run a shiur. And it's just, it's crazy, but one thing for sure is Hashem has a plan for every single one of you. And you don't know which day it can be, which week, which month. But I'm telling you, when it comes, it's almost as if, like, me and Jonathan were learning a certain career thing right now. And they always say there's like an aha moment that comes. And it's the same thing with Hashem. When Hashem gives you the aha moment, you know when it came and you understand it. So with that, I'm very happy you guys are all here. And please listen.
It's actually amazing because I was born in Israel. Oh, look at him. Welcome. I was born in Israel, and by the way, David, beautiful, like really beautiful. David's a brother of mine. I know him since I was like 15 years old, and we go back ways. So.
You came from Houston together?
No, I didn't go to Houston. I've never been, and I don't plan on going anytime soon. Unless they wanted to do a class. I'm from New York, so he used to live in New York. He got married. Israel, Houston, a whole bunch, he's been around. It's funny, he says that, the Lech Lecha thing, because I was born in Israel, and my mom is from America, so she didn't like being in Israel because of, like, whatever. She felt like whenever she would go to a supermarket, there was lachats, people were pushing her in line, like, she felt uncomfortable, and she didn't want me to become an Ars. You know, you guys know what that is? Like a gangster. And to go to the army, she told me, my mom told me, whatever you do in your life, you're not going to the army because you're my only son. I have a sister, but like I'm the firstborn boy. So she's like, I don't want to lose you. So whatever. Long story short, my father goes to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Alav Hashalom, Zichrono Livracha, Zechet Tzadik VeKadosh Livracha, when he was alive, and he brought him a petek, like a letter, and asked him like, what do I do? And Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, go. And it was Parshat Lech Lecha, and my father's name is Avraham. So. That's how we are. That's where we are today. Interestingly enough, a very beautiful story, David, and it just goes to show. I really wish in the Jewish, you know, world and community that people would be so brave like David is to come up and to say their story. Because it's not about the fact that a person was down, you know, kosher, didn't keep Shabbat, non-Jewish girls, whatever I'm saying for the girls, boys, like the worst things you could imagine. I don't know, going to a church. And I'm saying, like, it's not about where you were, and even if you're down right now in your life, it's not about that. It's about, you know, sometimes Hashem is mechaseh your da'at. He kind of covers up your intellect and covers up your ability to make the right choices in order for you to go to that down, because mi ma'amakim karaticha Hashem. From that depth, from that down in your life, you call out to Hashem. He literally said it. He was down, and he thought about Hashem. I think we said this last week, where Avigdor Miller says that even if you come to this world and think about Hashem, you're already fulfilling your purpose. It's huge. And obviously the Zohar writes that when you come to this world, a big, you know, probably the most important thing you could do is to get people to come closer to Hashem, to do Kiruv. If you came to this world and got one friend or one person to keep Shabbat, to make brachot, to put tefillin for the girls, modesty, making classes, if you came to this world and really helped one person, your mission was fulfilled. And one thing about me and David is that we really grow through life's challenges together. He knows everything about me. I know everything about him. He's like a brother to me. We literally go through ups and downs. And you shouldn't think that just because I'm sitting here giving the class that my life is perfect. It's the farthest thing from it. I struggle just like everybody else does. Of course, pain can be measured and struggles can be measured. But it just goes to show that Hashem doesn't give you a test you can't handle. And it's really in those moments where it's hard. That's exactly kind of when it's your calling to Hashem is like, you know, even though you're down right now, I love you, and you know, let's shape up, let's come back on track. And even just thinking about it is huge. We said a story a couple weeks about it, but let's just do the class dedication. So this class should be for the success and growth of Ronit Orli Bat Nuri, for her and her family, for me and my family, for everybody in this room and your families and all of Am Yisrael. Should only have good things come to you. And I mean that genuinely. For the Refuah Shlema of Yehuda Aryeh Li Ben Dvora Perla, Refuah El Eliyahu Ben Dvora Perla, Lorraine Rachel Bat Deganit, Gabriel Ben Miriam. Actually, he had a Refuah Shlema. Oops. Mary Israel ben Revia Esther, Yosef ben Miriam, Oz ben Michal, Rose bat Tzublika, Ravne ben Rachel Bosh ben Uli, Chaya bat Rachel, Yonatan ben Natalie, Chaim ben Asher, Chana bat Sarah, Chana bat Dovra, Yaakov ben Alis, Bezalel Yehuda ben Chanya, Michael ben Tovo, Elichana bat Hadassa, Esther bat Berto, Ona Esther bat Gwenena Germain, Eleni Ona bat Chenchana, Malka bat Julia, Rachel bat Shoshana, Lil Nishmat, Daniel Mordechai ben Regina, David ben Masuda, Shaul Aryeh ben Simcha, Ronen ben Rachel, Esetiti Batlina, Reb Shmaya ben Reb Abraham Weinschneider, Ephraim Menachem Mendel ben Yitzchak Yaakov Yablonovich, Dina Lea bat Menachem Mendel, Ava bat Ilana Esther, Dana bat Ilana, Yaakov ben Feivel. Finding a Zivug of Yonatan Shmuel ben Rachel, Hadassah bat Ruth, and Bezrat Hashem, all of Am Yisrael who needs it. So I prepared a very interesting opener. As we all know, it's the Purim is on Friday, and it's the month of Adar. Should we open the AC or it's good? Yeah? It's good? Everyone good in temperature? Okay. So, as we all know, we're on the month of Adar. Purim is on Friday. Mishanichnas Adar Marbin Be Simcha. So, it's an obligation that whoever enters the month of Adar, they should increase their happiness. You know, interestingly enough, happiness is everything in a person's life. And if you look at the letters of Besimcha, how do you spell it? Bet, Sin, Mem, Chet, Hey. If you take those letters and you reorganize them, you have machshava, mindset. So not only is happiness a mindset, but many times in life we tell ourselves, well, I'll be happy when I get married, or I'll be happy when I have children. I'll be happy when I make money. I'll be happy when this thing happens in my life. And it's the farthest thing from the truth. You know, if anybody knows a Hasidic person, they bless their friends with three different blessings. And these are probably the three most important blessings that a person can get in their life. They bless their friends with children, with life, and with money. Or as you say, bevene chayu mizone. Interestingly enough, the blessing of children, life, and money, it kind of goes in the order, because these are the three most important things everybody wants in their life. If you do the gematria, the numerical value of bevene chayu mizone is 205. 205 is also the gematria of Adar. What does that mean? Hashem is telling you that when you enter the month of Adar, you should increase your happiness. But it's not circumstantial, meaning it's not that you have to have something and then be happy. No, you come into the month of Adar, Hashem says, I want you to be happy. There was a story of a man who he did a very big mitzvah. I think it was, he was hachnasat orchim. He brought guests into his house. And because of this very big mitzvah, they made a very big, you know, noise in Shamaim. And Hashem decided that he's going to send him five angels. So one day he gets a knock on the door and he sees five angels, but they're in the body of rabbis and they're big, you know, beautiful white beards. Five rabbis come to his door. And they come and they tell him, you know, because of the mitzvah that you performed, we came to deliver you a blessing. And each one of us is an angel for a different shahr and shamayim, for a different gate. The first rabbi said that I'm the angel of children. And his wife said, okay, amazing. Shimon, we didn't have children in 10 years. Let's take this deal. And he goes, wait, I want to hear what the rest of the angels have to say. The second angel steps up and he says, I'm the angel of health. Now the grandfather happened to be in the house. He goes, amazing deal. I need refuah shlema. He goes, wait, let's hear until the end. A third angel steps up and he says, I'm the angel of livelihood, of parnasa. Obviously, that's a deal that nobody can refuse. Who doesn't want to be blessed with parnasa? That could fix all problems. That's actually not true. The fourth angel steps up and says, I'm the angel of success. Okay, global, worldwide success. Finally, the fifth angel comes. He says, I'm the angel of happiness. Now, he decided to pick the fifth angel, the angel of happiness. And when he picked that fifth angel, everything else, they all told him that we're going to give you everything else. Because it's not that we wait for something to change in our life and then we become happy. When we choose to be happy, even in the most difficult of circumstances, that's what opens up the gates. Because Sha'arei Dima Af Pam Lo Ninalu, the gates of tears, they're never locked. But Hasimcha Poretzet Gedarim, the gates of tears are always open. But what does happiness do? It breaks through the gates. So when a person chooses to be happy in the most difficult of situations, that's exactly what's going to get them to everything else. And interestingly enough, if you look at Adar in Hebrew, how do you spell Adar? Aleph Dalet Resh, right? And Davar Ra. There's a secret, there's a code. Teaching a person that if you're able to have the mindset that nothing bad happens in my life and everything is happening for the best, even when it doesn't look that way. Because remember, we only see life through these two eyes, through our own perspective. And this happens to me all the time where something crazy is happening and going on, and I'm like, Hashem, what is going on? But I remind myself, wait, Jonathan, you only see this, what's in front of you and what you know. But Hashem is up there looking and seeing the full picture. Hashem is moving this like this, moving that like that, and this person says yes, and that person said no, and this person hit my car. I actually got into an accident last week, and this person is annoying me. There's a million things going on in our life, but what's the key to coming out of everything? To be happy. And that's exactly the message of Adar. Of course, everybody wants to get drunk on Friday. I approve that message. And we should all give ourselves, we should all give our friends Mishloach Manot and Matnot Levyonim. This is a very important time because Purim is Ke Kippur. It's like Yom Kippur, so it's a very auspicious day for prayer, specifically Mincha, right before it's over. So I highly, I wouldn't say recommend, I'm more like pushing you, pray on Purim, pray every day, but specifically on Purim, pray with a lot of Kavanah. And also to show up to life with more of a serious attitude. It's not fair that only in our professional careers we come and we're organized and structured. It should be the same thing with prayer. Hashem put into my mind, I was praying Mincha today, and I was like, you know what? Why am I so organized with everything in my life? Well, I want to be the same way with Hashem. So I decided that I took upon myself that I'm going to sit down when I have like a free hour of no one bothering me. And I'm going to take a paper. I'm going to write down things that I want. Things that I want to pray for. I'm going to be very specific and very precise, and I'm going to do it every single day. Because there's no reason not to. Not really life. Hashem has shown me time and time again that Hashem says, I do everything. You don't do anything. I decide when you're going to get married, how much money you're going to make, how you're going to go through your day, what's going to happen. Doors are going to open, doors are going to close. And we just have to come back to the same thing, happiness. Because there are so many reasons and excuses that we can give ourselves not to put on the smile. But let me ask all of you a question. Did you all wake up today? Yes. Do you all have a bed to sleep on tonight? If not, you can come to my house. Do you all have a bed to sleep on tonight? Yes. Did you all have what you needed to eat today? Yes. Are you all feeling healthy and moving around fine? Yes. And I didn't share this publicly, but for the sake of, you know, the class, why not? For the past 2 months, I have a crazy pain in my left leg, and my left leg has not been working normally. And I don't have like health insurance set up yet in Florida. I know it's not a plea for help, but just to understand the idea, Hashem basically slowed me down. And this entire time, like I had a pretty rough past couple 2 months, you know, it started with back pain, it shot into my leg, and then my leg's not working. But like recently I started running again and I started to move again. And yesterday I was playing basketball and I was playing like how I used to, very quick, very fast. And I was like, yo, I appreciate the fact that I can use my left leg again. So sometimes God can even take away something from you just to make you appreciate it. And God taught me in these past 2 months of my life how important it is for me to slow down. Because me, I'm very quick. You know, I'm a Gemini, kind of like Trump. I find peace in being busy and peace in madness. But sometimes it's also a smart thing to kind of take a step back, to slow down and to kind of pace yourself. And that's what my leg has taught me, because I actually was forced to slow down. Not only when I play sports, but in my life, in my day, I can't walk as fast as I used to, all these things. And Baruch Hashem, my leg's getting a lot better, and I think I'm going to be back to normal soon. But what this taught me is that it's so important to sometimes just slow down and to remember who gave you everything. To slow down and to remember that Hashem is Kol Yachol. When I got the honor to interview the Yanuka when I was in Israel, I remember I was asking him a bunch of questions about, it's on my Instagram page. If you scroll down, you'll see videos about Shiduchim, about Parnassah, about everything. And he told me something that I can't forget. He said, when a person wants to get married, they go to the matchmaker. You want a loan or business, you go to the bank or to an employer. A person needs a refuah shlema, they go to the doctor. If a person needs whatever a person is looking for, you know the person to go to, you know the source. But he said, why is no one going to Borei Olam? Why is no one going straight to the source, Hashem? It's amazing if you think about it. You can literally stop what you're doing and you can have a one-on-one meeting with the creator of the world, and you don't have to schedule a time and you don't have to pay $1,000 afterwards. It's completely free. No insurance needed, no Zelle, no nothing. You can stop what you're doing and talk to the creator of the world and talk to him. Like, how would you feel if you can get a one-on-one meeting with the president of the United States? I mean, Biden, not so interesting, but now that we have Trump, it's a lot more, you know, it's a lot more engaging. How would you feel? You'd probably prepare weeks in advance. You'd probably buy the nicest suit, or if you don't have a nice suit, you'd rent one or borrow, whatever it is. You'd prepare, you'd shower, you'd get a haircut, you'd come crisp, clean. And Hashem is saying, I'm here all day. Think about it for a second. Every difficulty in our life is an obstacle for growth. It's sucking our potential out of us because it's painful. And through pain, you grow. And All Hashem wants you to do is to just take all that and kind of like throw it on me. It says in chapter 55 in Tehillim, Nun Hey, Ashlecha Adonai Yavcha V'Uichal Kelecha. Hashem says, throw on me your burden, throw on me your load, and I'll pick it up. You could literally do that, by the way. Say, Hashem, okay, I can't handle it, I'm throwing it on you. And to remove the word I from your vocabulary. And that's really the biggest message of Adar. And I'm so excited that we're in the month of Adar, because that was kind of the pinnacle of starting these classes to begin with. In the first class, I asked the question, what is happiness to everyone? Happiness equals peace of mind. Because when you study the teachings of Shaar HaBitachon, and it allows you to rest on Hashem, because you understand that God takes care of everything and you have nothing to do with anything, and you literally throw it to God and just do your best, meaning you go through the motions of your day. I walk here, I drive there, I have this conversation, I have that phone call. But it changes your entire perspective. Because if you know that Hashem is running the show, then why to be sour? Why to be bitter? Why to not smile all the time? Why to... Like, you can have the same phone call with a great attitude and with a great smile, and to make the other person feel good. You can have the same walk to shul, the same walk wherever you're going, and to just put on a smile. You can go through your life and do the same exact things that what you're doing, but instead of feeling bad and reacting and analyzing things in your mind and getting anxious over it, you can just say, you know what? I can't deal with this. There's a reason why people take pills and they get anxiety and they stress, because the human mind can't operate when there's so much fear inside of it and so many intangible things that we're not meant to deal with. The purpose of all these things is to test us, and Hashem is saying, give it back to me. You can't handle it, you're not supposed to handle it, give it back to me. You're not married yet, there's a reason for it, but give me the problem. You're married and can't have kids, give me the problem. You're not making money, or you're making too much, don't know what to do with it, give me the problem. Any problem you're facing, you have a health issue, I didn't go to one doctor, by the way. My leg healed on its own. I literally said, Hashem, you heal me. I don't have time to go to a doctor. I'm not recommending you guys do that. I'm just a crazy, whatever. But any problem you're facing, literally give God the problem. And you might not see an instant result. It might take days, weeks, months, years. But eventually, like David said beautifully, you're going to have that moment where everything's going to start to click. Because there's a proof. It says, before you say Birkat HaMazon, there's a pasuk that says, HaZor'im Bedima. Anybody know this pasuk? Berinaik Tzoru. A farmer... Zorim bedima. Zorea means to plant something, right? Dima is with tears. Berinaik tzoru, and you're going to have a lot of plentifulness. So a farmer, if he wants to, let's say a farmer wants apples. So he goes to his land. He digs up a hole, puts the seed, covers it up, waters it. Comes back, waters it again. He goes to the fall, the winter, the spring, the summer. And after 7 long years of this consistency, finally the apple tree sprouts and it grows and it comes out. And when the apple's ripe and ready to eat, now he comes, he picks the apple off a tree, he puts aside his ma'aser for Yerushalayim and whatever else back then. Today we go to a grocery store and have apples and we think it fell from Shamayim, when there's a whole process that actually goes on behind it getting there. And he makes a bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri Haetz. And the angels go, Amen. And then he bites into the apple and it's so sweet. Why is it so sweet? Because of how long it took to get there, of how much work that was put into it. I am encouraging every single person in this room to take yourself, to take your goals and to go at it 120%. And not to look for outcome, not to look for results. Focus on becoming the best person you can every single day. Avraham Avinu Baba Yamim, he says that Hashem, I came with complete days. He didn't waste a second. How is that possible? Avraham Avinu didn't waste. Anybody ever heard that story with the town and there was the cemeteries and with the 1 year, two, whatever a person actually lived? Because living is living with Hashem, living with Torah. Avraham Avinu lived he lived complete years. There wasn't a second in his life that was wasted. How is that possible? Because Avraham lived one day at a time. He wasn't living in the past. He wasn't living in the future. He was living right in front of him. And it's actually interesting because a person has to give 100% of their attention to whatever they're doing. You can't be at work and be thinking about the gym, or be in the gym thinking about work, or be in the shiur thinking about your meeting tomorrow, or on a date thinking about going home, because you're not fully present. So that's why whatever you're doing, give 100% full attention to, and that's how you can live full, complete days. Because we all have goals, but map them out. We all have things we want to accomplish. You can accomplish them. If you can see it in your mind, it can be a reality. I never envisioned being a public speaker, but Hashem kind of took me and was like, no, you're going to do this. I envisioned being a content creator. I envisioned all these things. And now it's there, it's real. That's how all of you know me. But how did it start? It started as an idea. But what if I never decided to do it? then you guys wouldn't be here. It wouldn't exist. You wouldn't know who I am. What did I do? Hashem gave me a thought. I'm like, okay, let's do this. I didn't care about what anybody was saying. There actually came a time in my whole content creating career where I was starting to get in my head about what people were saying, but I learned how to stop caring about negativity because I'm genuinely doing something good and there's no reason why anybody should derail me off of that. And it's funny because the people who kind of backlash you and say negativity about you, they come to ask for favors when you actually succeed. So that's just like a principle of what happens when you find success in things. But what I'm trying to say is that if everybody takes the vision of the person you want to become, kind of like what David was saying, that curtain, who's the man or who's the woman behind the curtain? Who's the person you want to be? Write it down. Make it a reality. Because when you write things down, they happen. Like if a person is driving 50 miles on a 25 and the cop pulls them over and gives them a ticket, the guy's going to say, but I didn't see the sign. The sign was behind the school bus. But the cop's going to say, but yeah, that's the law, buddy. It's written down. Same thing with your goals. If you keep it in your head, it might never happen. But if you take it out of your mind, you put it into reality, you write it down, you talk to Hashem. Like I always say, speech creates a vessel to receive. It's like Hashem, you tell Hashem, let's say you're single, I want to get married. Now it exists. It's in the air. The angels can start working on it. Okay, who's this guy? What does he do? Is he worthy? Does he have good midot? I was about to say, does he have parnasah, but it's not true. The Gemara says, oy to a person who waits to get married if he doesn't have an income. The merit of livelihood comes in the merit of a wife, not the other way around. You don't have to become rich and then get married. Hashem is not going to give you a wife and then leave you stranded. Hashem is not going to give you a child, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We should all have many children, Bezrat Hashem, and leave you to not have the money to pay for them. Every child comes with his own mazal. And it's actually interesting because my own father, when my sister was born, he started to have success in business. So, Sarah, thank you. But it just goes to show that everything in this world is Hashem. And all we have to do is to focus on Him, to give all of our issues to Him, and to look into ourselves. We have to become great. And that's really the best message that I could start as an introduction to everybody here. We're in an auspicious time period. It's the month of Adar. It's a time to be happy. Remember, en davar ra, nothing is... there's no such thing as something bad in this world. Everything is good. The Arizal writes that Hashem created the world perfect, and it's only the flaws, the wrong decision making of people, of mankind, that makes the world not so pretty. I don't want to use a strong word, but it's all up to us. We can decide to be happy. We can decide to have a positive mindset. We can decide to look at things in a positive way. We can decide to look at our friends and family and to find the good points in them. We can decide to the most impossible people in our life to make them in love with us by just giving them love and not expecting anything in return. It's really so simple. Even in this week's parasha, by the way, in the first aliyah, it says Venatnu. How do you spell Venatnu? Vav, Nun, Taf, Nun, Vav. What does that mean? It means, and they shall give. Venatnu means to give, right? That in Hebrew is, in English, it's called a palindrome, because venatnu, you can write it frontwards and backwards. Think about it. Vav nun taf nun vav, vav nun taf nun vav. What does it mean? If you give to a person, they're going to give back to you. And no, you shouldn't give because they're going to give back. It's just teaching you that whenever you give from yourself, from a pure place, it's going to come right back at you. And that's how Hashem runs the world. Midah kenegi midah, measure for measure. So if a person can get to this high level of just giving and giving and giving, giving his time, giving his love, giving his attention. Because I'm gonna give you a tip for life. When you feel like you want to get married, or like you want love, or you feel lonely, or you feel like you don't, whatever you're suffering with, it's really all the same thing. When you feel like you're missing something, that's the time to give, not the time to take. Because when you take, it's self-serving. It's like a self-serving idea, but it's not the right thing to do. When you feel like you're in lack, that's the time to actually start giving. You feel like you need love, so give love. You feel like you need money, so give money away. And it's going to come right back. The love you're giving, it's going to come right back. The compliments you're giving, it's going to come right back. It's all going to come right back. And that's what Hashem wants us to do. And that's the message of Adar, to be besimcha, to be in happiness. And it's all in your mindset. Besimcha, machshava. Clear? Does this all make sense? Yeah. Should we go back? Go forward? Okay, I approve that message. It's really so simple. Choose to be happy. Choose to not let your shortcomings get to you. Choose to say, Hashem, I want what you want. And that's it. Have faith. What does faith stand for? Forward all issues to Hashem. Credit to Rabbi Malka and Lakewood for that one. And to have bitachon. Bypass Instagram and TikTok and choose Hashem over nonsense. I made that one up. You guys like it? And it's really so simple. If we choose to be happy in the month of Adar, we it's a mitzvah to be happy. It's actually literally an obligation. So stop being upset. Get to it. Use your face to smile. The Chafetz Chaim says that a person's face is not his. It belongs to God. So you have no excuse to have this face and to not wear a smile 24/7. And things will open up for you in your life. I wrote in the group chat today, Hashem says, if you open me up the opening of a needle, Hashem says, I'm going to open you a hole. I'm going to open you a world. And think about it for a second. We can actually get there. You can envision the person you want to be for the boys and for the girls in this room, and you can actually make it happen. It might not happen overnight, but it'll happen eventually. Do you really think that if you focus on yourself and give all of your attention to just being a better person, focusing on yourself, focusing on being nice to the people around you, focusing on just living a Torah dika life and focusing on Hashem, do you really think you'll lose? Is it possible to lose? It's very simple. Are the majority of the people in this room single? Is it fair to say? Anyone married? Put it that way. Okay, and David. Okay, so the majority of people in this room are single. It's very possible that you can one day have an amazing wife or husband, very soon, the Karov Amen, and you can marry your other half, live an amazing life, have chemistry with them, build a Torah life together, come home every day to someone, come to every Shabbat with someone, come to every Chag with someone, come show up to your life with another person there. And it all starts now. There's a reason why Masechet Gittin was written before Kiddushin. God teaches you how to get out before you get in. Not because he's trying to trick us or something, because he wants us to end up in court. Because Hashem is teaching you, before you marry someone else, divorce yourself. Because marriage is all about the other person. And that's why Ahava in Hebrew, in the middle of the word Ahava, is Hav. Hav means to give. So really, if you start from now as a single person, boy or girl, giving unconditionally to the people around you, to your life, just showing up, not caring what people think or what they're going to give back or what they thought about me, do the right thing. Do the right thing, give, be your best self, serve Hashem, learn Torah, fulfill mitzvah, make tshuva, come closer to Hashem, and everything's going to work out. Just a matter of time. It's not like I do this and then, no, it's going to work out. And all my friends who are married, they told me the same exact story. They were going through a difficult time, they were down, smoking, girls, whatever, and then they ended up eventually just sorting themselves out. So don't feel bad if you're not on the right track. But also remember, God expects a little bit more of you. So start by limiting slowly, slowly. Go on Snapchat, I don't know, take off a couple girls. Go on social media, unfollow a couple people that don't need to be there. Just set boundaries in your life so you're not going to be constantly, it's like you're waking up tomorrow with yesterday's head. No. God is constantly recreating the world, so why are we not recreating ourselves? Why do we wake up tomorrow, open up our phone, do the same scrolling, the same complaining, the same motions? Like, why are we going through and living an extension of what happened yesterday? That's idol worship, by the way, when you worship the person you used to be, even 5 minutes ago. You made a mistake, fine, get back up. It's very simple. Stop worshiping the things you used to do. Wake up tomorrow morning. Forget tomorrow. You leave this class in this next second. Hashem, I'm becoming a different person. That's it. I'm becoming a new person. I don't want to be the person I used to be. I don't want to scroll, look at the same, I don't know, people on Instagram or TikTok. I don't unfollow, delete. If it's not working, deactivate. If I didn't have a page, I literally wouldn't have social media, by the way. So, and it's so toxic. Even for me, it's toxic. I try my best to limit it as much as I can. It's so toxic to be online. Because you right away, the reason why you're opening the app, if you think about it, is because you're looking to take. You don't feel good? Quick endorphin. Who liked my post? Messages, notifications, DMs. It's self-serving. But that's not what being a Jew is all about. I happen to be on social media to give. I'm going to give back. I'm not a consumer, I'm a creator. So it's different for me. But I would rather every person get off social media and I'll have zero followers and I'll say, okay, Yerushalayim, Mashiach Sir, let's go. But the whole purpose of, you guys get what I'm saying? It's all self, and we have to pay attention to our actions. Why are we doing things? Why are we showing up? And to start to do things for the right reason. Because when a person does the right things and they have Hashem in their mind, and even if it's not always perfect, but you're trying to do your best, that's what usually gets you to the right destination. Because the more that we invest in ourselves, invest in Hashem, and invest in the person, how does it go? Building a person's self-esteem is investing in the person that you want to be. So it's short-term gratification, the quick release, which you can get instantaneously by doing whatever it is we all like to do that we shouldn't be doing, Or we can start to invest in the person that we want to become. Because when you invest in the person you want to become, but you're not there yet, that's called building your self-esteem. It's like a person who wants to lose weight. Yes, today they may look in the mirror and not feel so good about themselves. But you can write down your goals, you can start to eat healthier, you can start to get it, you can get a gym membership, go to the gym, start exercising, go slowly with it, take walks, then run, then jog, build up slow, and eventually you'll get there. But why to give up? Why to say, but I'm 35 and I'm not married, so who cares? So what? Maybe it's not your time, maybe you're not the right person yet, maybe the person you're supposed to marry is not ready for you yet. Maybe the girl is in seminary, maybe the guy is about to move to town and you're about to meet him. Put yourself in the right places, do the right things, because we all know what the right thing is to do, and Hashem is going to open up for you worlds upon worlds in your life. Because when I was in high school, to credit Rabbi Shlomo Miz, who was my Rebbe, he would always say that in this generation, right before Mashiach, if anyone is thinking about Hashem, learning Torah for the men, minyanim, you know, going to shiurim, involves giving maaser, living a Jewish life in this generation is the hardest thing to do. And by the way, what makes you a Jew is not waving an Israeli flag. And I love the state of Israel, but that's not what makes you Jewish. What makes you Jewish is following the Torah. Torah, hara'ah, instructions. Follow the Torah. For the men, it's guarding your eyes, shmirat tabri, shomer negiyah. I know it's a hard thing to do, but to the best of your abilities, these are very, very critical things that build the foundation of a Jewish person. And when life is a free-for-all and we pick and choose mitzvah, and we're not, I'm not saying to be perfect and to do everything, but at least know what's right from wrong and work on getting there slowly. And what's the best remedy, by the way? What's the best trick? Learning Torah. Because when you learn Torah and live Torah, it makes you feel better. It makes you look back and say, why did I do those things to begin with? It makes you feel more of a sense of purpose. Because when you're connecting yourself to Hashem by through learning Torah and fulfilling mitzvah, that's the best way for a person to slowly, slowly start to feel better. It's one thing to take care of your body, and I'm recommending it. It's one thing to make money. These are all accomplishments and they're amazing things to do. But one thing you have to fit into your day is a set time to learn Torah. Like David was saying earlier, they ask you up in Shemaim a bunch of questions. The first one they asked you, Haim kavati itim la Torah? Itim, two. Did you pick a time, morning and night, to learn Torah? And that's why, if I ever give a class to women, I gave one in New York recently when I was there, and I was telling them that it was my sister's high school class, like a bunch of 16, 17-year-old girls. They went on the Shabbaton, they got super inspired, they wanted to start giving a shiur. I happened to be in town, so I gave them the first class. Hashem gave the class, not me. And what I was telling them is that when you girls are going to grow, be ready for dating soon, and you should all have a smooth process, God willing, how do you look for a guy? I told them, look for one thing, two things really, midot, which are very important, and someone that learns. Because even if someone doesn't have good midot, but he learns Torah, he's still going to rectify his midot. Because it says in Masechet Kiddushin, Daflamen Amur Be, Barat Yetzara, Barat Yitzara Tavlin. Hashem created the evil within us, and He also created the cure. The cure is the Torah. So when you learn Torah, it burns the evil inside of you. I think I was saying this last week, that Rav Meir Eliyahu, whenever he's in a bad mood, his wife tells him, go learn. Because when you learn, you come back, you're Meir again. Same thing with this world. Women get the schar when they push their husbands to go learn, and the men get the schar. It's like when you choose to live with Hashem, you're getting this world and the next. People that choose not to have Hashem in their life, they get this world, but they might not get the next, because they might get rewarded for the good they did in this world. But when a person picks to live with Hashem, they get this world and the next. Because after you finish learning, you feel free, you feel yourself, you feel good. And the more you learn, it's like the opposite. It's like for a regular person in corporate America, they think, well, my time off is when I smoke, or when I go out, the weekends, or when I go to the gym. It's not like that for a Jew. Your time off, what's giving you life, is the time that you learn. So if you learn in the morning, that's when you're in it. You're actually living. Yes, you have to work, you have to do things, you have responsibilities, okay. But the time, the Rambam says that every single person should learn 9 hours a day. And I heard a rabbi, Rabbi Rahimi, that said if every single Jew would close down their business, take all their investments and money, open up Bet Midrash, the rich Jews would be able to support all of us, and every single Jew would be able to learn, and Mashiach would come instantaneously. And you just see in the world how it plays out, how unfortunately rich people don't invest in the right things. They invest in money that doesn't come with them to the cemetery. You can't even be buried with socks. So, did anybody ever see moving trucks by the cemetery? You go as yourself. The body, the soul leaves the body, and then the body loses its life force. It's the same thing in life. When a person chooses to disconnect from this world and to reconnect to Hashem and to truly devote everything they have to coming closer to Hashem, everything will open up for you in your life. And that's a message that I can definitely approve. Because the more that we learn Torah and connect to Hashem and slowly work on ourselves, because it goes hand in hand. The best thing you could do, learn Torah. Not only does it burn up the negativity inside of you, it burns up your negative character traits, it burns up your stinginess, your anger, especially if you're Moroccan, right? It burns up everything negative inside of you. That's why there was a great rabbi that said, the best fundraisers are the ones that give a speech about charity and then raise money. Because if you come into a shul and you're like, okay, I'm here from Israel raising money, they're going to tell you, buddy, no one's interested in hearing. But if you come in with a captivating speech, and I've tried it before. I have a nonprofit that I raise money for sometimes. I've tried it before. When you come in with a captivating speech about the power of tzedakah, tzedakah tatzil mimavet, when you give charity, it saves you from death. It saves you from bad decrees. You talk about the importance of ma'aser. Hashem says in the Torah, test me with one thing. Test me with giving charity. I'm going to make you rich. It's a promise from Hashem. When you come in with a captivating speech about tzedakah and about giving charity, all of a sudden the entire crowd wants to give. Even though they may regret it later. Because what happened? You burned the Yetzirah. Now their heart's open and they're going to give you 10 times more than what they would have before. It's not psychology, it's how the soul works. You burn the contingencies that the soul gets attached to this world and you release it. All of a sudden, the person is him true self. Because everybody wants to give. Everybody wants to donate. Everybody wants to be more, to have a better relationship with Hashem, to be more religious, to come closer. Everybody wants to do these things. But what happens? We have excuses. It's not. It's really just, you're just too connected to the Olam Hazeh. And the more that you disconnect from Olam Hazeh, from this physical material world, and you allow Hashem to come in and connect to the Torah and etc. Because think about it, if you have a vessel with 100% capacity and 80% is connected to this world, I want a nice car, I want a nice house, want those things, fine. But where's the space for God to fill? When you disconnect from this world, you allow Hashem to come fill the space. You become more simple. You become more... It's actually a very interesting vor about Moshe Rabbeinu's Yartzeit. We'll get to the Sefer soon. Already almost in an hour. But the seventh of that was Moshe Rabbeinu's Yartzeit. So I heard a very interesting piece. Va'ish Moshe anav mikol adam me'od. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble out of all the people living. And it says that Moshe Rabbeinu kibel Torah mi-Sinai, the opening pasuk in Pirkei Avot, right? So I have a question for everybody in this room. What does it mean that Moshe received the Torah mi-Sinai, from Har Sinai? Didn't Moshe Rabbeinu receive the Torah from God? What, did he come to the mountain and the mountain gave him the Torah? Shouldn't it say Moshe Rabbeinu kibel Torah be-Sinai or al-Sinai? Why does it say mi-Sinai? And listen to this, because it's a fabulous drasha. When Hashem announced that he wanted to give the Torah on the mountain, all the mountains were competing with each other. It was one mountain that's saying, no, me, I'm the biggest. But yeah, but I'm mediocre size, but I'm very wide. No, but give it on me. But no, but give it. They were all arguing. What did Har Sinai do? Har Sinai, by the way, was the smallest mountain out of all of them. What did Har Sinai do? Stayed quiet. Stayed quiet. And Hashem said, ah, humility. That's what I'm looking for. And Hashem picked Har Sinai to give the Torah on. So what is Moshe Rabbeinu saying when he says, Kibel Torah mi Sinai? Because if it wasn't for Moshe Rabbeinu learned how to accept the Torah from Har Sinai. Because everybody get that? Moshe Rabbeinu learned how to accept the Torah mi Sinai, from Har Sinai. Because the fact that Har Sinai was humble and wasn't, you know, ego and all this. The fact that Har Sinai kept its mouth quiet and didn't say anything, didn't fight, didn't contest, and it was the smallest one. Hashem picked it out of the bunch and said, "This is the mountain that's going to become famous for the rest of history, and now I'm going to give my Torah on." And Moshe learned from Har Sinai how to act, how to be, and that was why he was able to give the Torah mi Sinai. Because if it wasn't for Har Sinai's actions, there might not have been a Moshe Rabbeinu. It's very deep, but it's amazing. It's really amazing. It just goes to show that when it comes to getting married and to making parnasah, the two things that people are so crazy about, it says in the Gemara that it's compared to the splitting of the sea. I heard a chidush from Avchayim Kanievsky's son, firsthand, Rav Shlomo Kanievsky, that said that why does God compare the giving of the Torah, the making a livelihood and getting married, which is the two things that people want the most, obviously, because without money and without a soulmate, you can't serve Hashem to your fullest potential. By the way, you shouldn't pray to self-serve. Even with filah, pray to give. Pray for a wife or a husband to give. Pray for money to give. pray for things to serve us. Say, Hashem, I want to get married or make money because I want to serve you better. Not because I want to buy a nice car. If you have money, do it. I approve the message. But have it for the right reasons. So why is getting money and getting married compared to the splitting of the sea? On whose merit did the sea split? Nachshon ben Aminadav. Actually, Kriyat Yam Suf, Yud Mem Sofit, Yosef and Moshe. So on those two tzaddikim's merit, plus the initiative of Nachshon ben Aminadav, that was the merit of why the sea split. But what did Nachshon do when he approached the water? He put his head down. He was humble. And I love to say this. People come into dating and they're like, I want a tall, perfect family, reputation, money. I want everything. I'm up here. Hashem's like, I can't split the sea for you. It's not that it's hard for Hashem. We make it hard for Hashem to get married and to give us a livelihood because we're so up here with our expectations that aren't even realistic. But a person is sometimes foolish to understand that if you just humble yourself and just do your best, you're going to get those things anyway. But just let go of the control. Let go of wanting to have things your way. Look for something real. Don't look for a girl or for a guy that has everything that you think you want, all these external qualities. Look for someone that's going to be a good father or mother to your children. Look for someone who's a giver, someone who's responsible, someone you can rely on, someone you want to build a home with. Same thing with money. Money is easy. Money in Hebrew is zuzim, damim. Damim because it's hard to make. It's compared to blood. Zuzim is because it goes from one person to the next. I've had times where I've had a lot of money in my bank account, and the next day I had zero, and then it comes back, and God says, I'm going to raise you and then lower you, kind of like a puppet, because it just goes to show that we're not in control. How many people do you know that had everything and lost it, or had nothing and then made it? God gave, God took, may God's name be blessed. This is the number one lesson that I could give you guys tonight, happiness and humility, because when you're happy, you open up all the potential for Hashem to give you everything because the happiness and being in the good mood is... Think about it practically. Imagine you start smiling for the rest of your life. You know where it's going to take you? You smile. You walk into the coffee shop, you smile. You walk into business, you smile. Oh, look at Moshe. His attitude changed. Let me give him a raise. Yeah, that's what's playing out in this world, that people are going to see you smile and give you things. But really what's happening on a deeper level is that God is rewarding you for being happy because He wants you to be happy. He doesn't want you to walk around life upset. And humility. Not only Moshe is the most humble man getting receiving the Torah from Har Sinai, and everything is compared to this idea of putting your head down. Yes, put your head down. Be humble. Don't have high expectations. Things are going to come. Believe me, they will, and they'll come fast. But in order to be the right vessel to receive it, this is the rules and instructions and guidelines you have to follow. Because if you're going to be egotistical and full of yourself and thinking that you run the world, then it's unfortunately, I wish I could tell you otherwise, but it's not going to get you far. And again, I'm not here to sell hope. I'm not here to give you guys false expectations of reality. Yes, life is hard. It's difficult. We all grow through things. But one thing for sure is that if you bring Hashem into your life, you bring Him with you everywhere you go. Literally before I came out from my studio, I said, Hashem, please put the right words in my mouth to give a good class because I had a long day today. Because I recognize that it's God talking, not me. Yeah.
Maybe you should explain the four steps to pray properly to God when you want something.
I'm not aware of the four steps. You want to enlighten me?
The first step is that you have to say that you're thankful God for whatever is done for you. It's gratitude. Mm-hmm. The second step is you got to talk to God about your problem. The third step is envision it. A request for help with the problem. And the fourth one is envision it.
Chazak. And then get it.
You should get it.
Chazak. What's your name?
There's another method.
What's your name?
Tal.
Chazak Baruch. Beautiful. Yeah, I actually heard a chidush from Rav Shalom Arush that he was saying that if a person feels like the struggle is happening le'olam, like forever, like that difficulty is never going to end, the kindness is actually ne'elam. It has the same letters as le'olam. It's hidden. The kindness in that difficulty is hidden. And how do you reveal the kindness? By saying Mizmor L'Todah. Chapter 100 of Tehillim, 13 times, because 13 is the gematria of Ahava. So not only are you going through that struggle, but you're actually showing Hashem, wow, thank you for it. And that's kind of how you get yourself out of the problem to begin with.
There's another step also. So let's say you have a friend who's not here, and you have the same situation. So you can pray for that friend to get married, and then it will reflect back on you, which is what you were
you're quoting a Gemara. It says, Kol amit palal ba'ad chavero, hu ne'ena tchila. Anybody who prays, no, sorry. Anybody that prays for their friend and they need the same exact matter, like if you need to get married and you pray for your friend to get married, Hashem says, I'm going to answer you first. So, Hazaku Baruch. So let's get into the Shara Bitachon. We're going to do a quick review of what we did last week because it was I thought it was hard to understand. By the way, everybody clear so far? Does this all make sense? Any questions, comments? I don't know. Bash. Okay. So we're on page 75. We're going to go through a little bit of what we did last week, and then we're going to stop because we're about to hit an hour. And if anybody has questions, anything, I'm encouraging them, even if they're difficult. What? 75 for me. It's the beginning of Perek Sheni, the second Perek. You see this? Everybody have this? And as we read, by the way, I'm suggesting and asking everybody to read it quietly to yourself, like as if you were praying in the Amidah, because when you read it, you're actually sewing it onto your soul, because everything you say becomes a part of you. That's why we shouldn't speak Lashon Hara. So, get everybody a second to get the Sefer. We'll go through this and then we'll stop. Everybody ready? Do we need a 5-minute break? A lot of information at once. Page 75. By the way, guys, I'm interested in starting a minyan in this room, Mincha Arvit, every day. So if anybody wants to start doing that, let me know. And yeah, maybe in the future we can make our own Shachrit minyan. I don't know where yet. This place would need to get renovated first, but maybe like a daily minyan with a class after, kind of like what Gedalia does. I'd be interested in doing that one day, maybe soon. Okay, everybody ready? We're on page 75. So we stopped last time, a little bit in the middle, but I wanted to go over it again so everybody could really digest this Divrei Torah, because it's very important. So it says two conditions needed for trust. Perek Sheni. We now start the second parak. In this parak, the author gives seven reasons that warrant having bitachon in Hashem. So just to explain what that means outside, in order for us to place our trust in Hashem, we have to know that He can help us. Okay? Easy to understand? Make sense? Awesome. 2.1. The seven conditions for trust. There are seven qualities or conditions that would make it possible to trust other human beings. David, could you get the AC, please? It's a little hot. It's right there. Please. There are seven qualities for conditions that would make it possible to trust other human beings. Of course, no single human being will have all these qualities, but if he has some of them, you may be moved to trust him. Of course, Hashem has all of these qualities, so you can put your complete trust in Hashem, knowing that He'll take care of everything for you in your life. The first condition is kindness. The first of them is Rachamim ve'achemla ve'ahava, the combination of compassion, sympathy, and love. Guys, if you really read with me and put your head to it, you're going to see that when we're done in 10 minutes from now, you're going to be like, what was that? You're going to become addicted. It's not drugs, it's Torah, it's a lot better. If the person whom you want to trust doesn't have feelings of kindness for other people, then it's hard to trust in him. But Hashem is unequaled in the quality of kindness, which includes compassion, sympathy, and love. He feels this kindness especially towards the Jewish nation, as it says, he loves his nation Israel. You see the little 87? You go on the bottom, it says, Ohev Amo Israel. He loves his nation Israel, which is what you say, it says Ma'ariv, you say it in Arvit. Ohev et Amo Israel, and you say Shema. Ki ha'adam kishu yodea b'chavero shehu merachem v'chomel alav. For when a man knows that a certain person has compassion for him and likes him, yiftach bo, then he trusts in him. Easy. This is a basic idea. If you know that someone likes you, if let's say he's a rich person, you're gonna trust him. He's gonna take care of me, because you know that he has my best interest in mind. This is the same thing with God. V'tanuach nafsho alav b'chol ma'ash yatrichehu. Me'inyanav. His soul is then at ease, at peace. right? Happiness equals peace of mind in any matter that would require him to bother that person. It's a bother for a person to do favors for you at various times, but you know your mother will do many things for you even though it's a bother, because you know that your mother loves you and she'll drop what she's doing to take care of her children. And therefore, you can trust in your mother. When a person has a great love for you, then you can rely on him even though it's going to be a bother for him. You know that he'll do it for you anyhow, anytime, any day, no matter what. That's the first quality. That Hashem loves the Jewish people so much that a Jew is justified in trusting in Hashem to always act in the matter in which you have placed your trust. But this presumes that you yourself behave in support of the action that you trust. If you refuse to eat, you can't just trust in Hashem to keep you alive without eating. What that line is saying, but this presumes, is saying that a person has to do their basic ishtadlut in their life. You can't run into the street against the red light trusting in Hashem to protect you. You have to look left and right. When a person does what he's supposed to do and he trusts in Hashem, then he knows that Hashem will fulfill what he expects of him. What this means is that Hashem wants you to get married, but you can't act silly and expect Hashem isn't to reward you a wife. Hashem wants you to make money, wants you to be in good shape, but you can't act in a self-destructive behavior and expect that things are going to work out. Does that make sense? I hope it makes sense. The second condition is caring, vashanit. The second condition for one to trust another individual is that he knows, in addition to the love that the patron, which is the provider, has for him, the patron will never ignore him. It may be that the patron is a very busy man and so he might forget about you. And this is not true with Hashem. The second condition is that, like Hashem, the patron will never be too lazy to carry out the wishes of the one who trusts in him. Rather, the trusting person knows that the patron will exert himself. So a very basic example, if you have a person you trust in your life, you call them, they tell you, it's too late right now, can we talk tomorrow? God doesn't do that. God says, any time of day, I'm here for you. And he's always willing to do it. So if you have a friend whom you know is always thinking about you and he makes it a point never to forget about you, you have all the more reason to have confidence in him. But Hashem is better than any friend in this respect, because his mind is always on you. Hashem is always thinking about you, and he will never neglect to do what's necessary for you. I want everyone to stop for a second and think about it. Out of the entire Milky Way, and out of the entire solar system, with planets traveling between 20 to 80,000 miles per hour, orbiting the sun, which is the biggest of them all, by many, many times, how is it possible that once in history, the planets didn't crash into each other? If you look on the highway, Google how many accidents were on the I-95 today, you're going to see. How is it possible that in Hashem's perfect designing of the world, planets don't bump into each other? Or we don't lose sun? If we're a little close to the sun, we'll get burned. If we're a little far, we'll freeze to death. Everything is so perfectly divined, to the fact that Hashem travels all the way. You know, there was a beautiful piece about the Baal Shem Tov and his students. Anybody ever heard this with the leaf? So his students were asking him, Baal Shem Tov, Rebbe, how is it possible? What do you mean that Hashem cares about every little detail in the world? Wait, he really cares about leaves falling off a tree? So the Baal Shem Tov goes to the window, they were in a higher building, and he says, pick a leaf on that tree. It happened to be autumn, like the fall, and in the autumn, the trees, they change their nature. The leaves fall off, etc. So the students picked a certain bright yellow, orangish, reddish, beautiful leaf, and they're all focusing on it. And they see all of a sudden the gust of wind comes. And it comes, and then that leaf falls off, and they follow it. It goes around, and it goes over the lake that was there, and it travels. It gently falls on top of a worm. And the Baal Shem Tov explained to them that worm was, not a worm, a snail. That snail was about to die from the sunlight, and Hashem designed that leaf to fall on top of the snail to save its life. The story continues where the snail travels and it goes on to a man that was sleeping, and the man that was sleeping woke up and there was a snake right next to him. So if that snail didn't get saved from the leaf, didn't travel to the man, wake him up, the man would have died from the snake. So it really goes to show you that Hashem is intricately designing every detail in your life. So let me ask you guys a question. Out of the entire solar system and Milky Way and all the planets and the billions and trillions of miles that exist in this creation called reality, God will travel all the way down to make sure that a ladybug will get fed, but he's not going to think about the chosen nation. It's a little bit of a catch-22. What? So you're saying that God is going to make sure everything is going to work out, but you he's going to forget about. No, silly. Hashem is thinking about you all day. Does that make sense? Okay, let's continue. In order to rely on Hashem, you must have full trust in his memory, meaning that he's not going to forget about you, and you must be sure that he will not be too busy to think about you. Hashem actually enables the midah of forgetfulness when it comes to our wrongdoings, because when we want to receive something and we pray for it, and the sitra acha comes and says, no, but he shouldn't get it, or he, she shouldn't get it because of what she, of what they did, Hashem actually enables this character trait of forgetfulness. Hashem wants to forget the bad that you did and only reward you for the good. That's how much Hashem loves you. Hashem has a lot of chesed and kindness that goes very, very far and deep. Everybody following so far? Ruch Hashem. Mipenei she'u yodea hit'almuto v'rifyono b'chetzo. The trust will not be complete if the trusting person knows that sometimes the patron forgets and sometimes neglects to carry out the things that the trusting person wants. Meaning that sometimes when you trust someone, sometimes yes, sometimes no. With Hashem, doesn't work that way. He's thinking about you. He's obsessing about you, and to the nth degree. But if the patron combines both these qualities, that is, godel rachamanuto alav, the greatness of his compassion for the trusting person, v'rov hashgachato al inyanav, and the abundance of care that he shows for his concerns, yiftach bo mibli safek, the trusting person will surely have confidence in him mibli safek, without a doubt. Meaning in English, know that you can trust Hashem and have no doubts. We can trust in Hashem because He has these two qualities: His great love for us and His care for us. So the first condition is kindness. The second one is caring. Anytime, any day, you call Hashem, He's on the way. I just made that up. The third condition is power. Vashalishit. The third condition for one to trust another individual is sheyeh chazak, that the patron is a powerful personality. If he's a weakling, even though he's a kind-hearted, kind-hearted towards you, and even though he's thinking about you, he may not be capable of carrying out his wishes towards you. He may be too weak or too poor. If you need help with money, your poor father and mother may not be able to solve your problems despite their love for you. Therefore, for effective trust, you need to have a person who is unlimited in his resources. A person like that doesn't exist. Even Elon Musk. Hashem is the only one who's unlimited. Limited in resources, because even the most money that you can have in the world can't cure sadness. Sometimes money can't even cure health. The only one that can cure everything is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Lo yenutz. And by the way, about happiness, just quick detour. Happiness is a journey. Don't think it's gonna happen like this. Yes, it'll happen slowly and progressively, and you'll get there. But also, if you're working on happiness, especially this month, and it's not always there, don't be too hard on yourself. Just pick yourself right back up. Brush off those negative thoughts and put the smile back on your face. The patron must be so strong that he cannot be prevented from doing anything that he desires to do. And nothing will stop him from fulfilling the request of the person who trusts him. Talking about Hashem. But if the patron is a weak person, lo yishlam habitachon alav, he cannot have full trust in him. Af api shnitbarer shehu merachem umashgiach, even though it's clear to him that the patron is compassionate and is always looking and thinking about him. This is because in many cases it's not possible for the patron to do these things for him. The patron may be sick on the very day you need him. When a person is too weak, you cannot rely on him, even though he is a kind friend of yours and has your best interests in mind. And when it comes to Hashem, it doesn't work that way. Everybody get that? In conclusion, when these three qualities are found in one person, your trust in him is more justified than if one or more of the three qualities is missing. So what are the three qualities? Just to recap, that he loves you and feels compassion for you, that he is always, so which is kindness, he is always thinking about you and is energetic about carrying out your wishes, which is the care, and three, that he has the ability to do anything for you, which is his unlimited power, that Hashem is kol yachol, Hashem kol yachol, he can do anything, and anything he can do. The author is enumerating seven conditions for trusting in anyone. Of course, no human being and no subject and no object in the world can have all the qualities that he describes, but Hashem has all seven of them, as we shall see in the next chapter. You guys want to continue or stop here? Feedback? Continue? We'll continue. We'll do it in a couple more minutes. The fourth condition is knowledge. Varvi'it. The fourth condition for one to trust another individual. I'll stay here till 2 a.m. The fourth condition for one to trust another individual is sheyeh yodeh be'ofne to'elet abotech alav, that the patron must know the ways of dealing beneficially for the individual who trusts him. Meaning he has to specifically know your needs and your desires, and to be able to organize it in a way that he gives you what's best for you. Let's say you need medical care and you trust someone to do the best for you. So you go to him and ask ask him to diagnose your condition and give you a prescription. But the man is not competent. He's not a physician and is depending on guesswork. Even though he's a kind-hearted man who is energetic and powerful and has your best interests in mind, he might give you poison and cause you great harm. So a fourth condition is that the person you trust must be competent in knowledge to know what you need, specifically and to the finest detail. It is essential that what is good for the trusting person is not concealed from the eyes of the one he depends upon. And this applies, meaning there's nothing that Hashem doesn't see. If there's a better solution, he sees everything. Whether or not it's something that's apparent, meaning hidden or obvious. For instance, some people can see when you need something, but only if it's a superficial need. If the need is buried in the body, somebody has to be able to diagnose your condition and know the real reason for the thing that's bothering you. To do this, he has to be an expert. For example, to analyze x-rays takes a great deal of training and experience in college and etc. Therefore, a doctor must not only have the ability to know what's apparent, but also what's secret about you, what's hidden inside, what's nistar. If he doesn't have that quality, then you cannot really put your trust in him. In real life, even the greatest doctor can make mistakes because the cause of your condition may not be what he thinks is the cause. Like the story I gave about my hand, if you guys remember. Doctor said surgery, I said Hashem, and look where we are today. And you should know what is the benefit for that person. Even if the doctor knows the cause of the condition, he also needs to know the right remedy for it. For if he doesn't know all of this, the mind of the person who depends on him will not be at ease. The person trusting in Hashem has to know that Hashem could do everything for him. That Hashem is the best doctor in the world. If he doesn't know the cause, and by the way, it's not just a cause for a physical condition, Hashem could also heal your depression, your sadness, he could heal your heart and make you happy. Food for thought. If he doesn't know the cause of your trouble and how to deal with your trouble and what kind of remedy to give, then what's the use of trusting in him? But if all these four qualities are added together in a nice mix in the patron, da'ata betu'a lotav, including knowledge of the needs, v'chaltobahem, the ability to carry them out, v'rovash gachato alahem, his intense concern for the trusting individual, v'chemlato alav, and his compassion for him, yichazak bitchono bo mibeli safek. The individual's trust in Hashem, him, will be strengthened without any question. So just to recap what we did. The first condition is kindness, to know that Hashem is kind and thinking about you and has infinite love for you. Second condition is caring, to know that Hashem has infinite care and love for you in the world, much more than the person you believe cares for you the most in this world. The third condition is power. Hashem has infinite power in the world to make anything happen for you in your life. Like we said before, Zeyashpil v'Zeyarim, Hashem could rise one person and bring the next one down. Not to think that any person has power. They only have it. It looks like they have it as a messenger of Hashem. But Hashem has all the power. So again, kindness, care, power. And the fourth condition is knowledge. Hashem has the knowledge to know. Thank you. Hashem has the knowledge to know your best needs and your best interests in mind. And even something out of all the solutions that a person could find, Hashem knows the hidden ones and the ones that are out in the open. Hashem has them all in his knowledge and intellect, specifically designing your life and doing the best things for you. And this plays out to the smallest things in our day, to the every finest, smallest detail in our life. Nothing is random, nothing is coincidence, nothing is on occurrence. Everything is specifically designed. By the way, and we're going to finish with this. We'll do another recap next week and finish the seven conditions. So I really want you guys to know this, and we're going to start getting into really beefy, fun stuff. Abraham Avinu wrote a book. Anybody know the name of the book? Which one? No, that was Hashem. Yes, Hazaku Baruch. Abraham Avinu, what's your name? Beautiful, Yeshua. So Abraham Avinu wrote Sefer Yetzirah. If a person studies Sefer Yetzirah properly, you can be able to look at a picture of a person to have their birthday and to have their name, those three things, picture, birthday, and name, basically like your neshama's birth certificate, and to be able to read a person because your face is divided into three parts, right? This part of your face, and then I think from your eyebrows to your top lip and your top lip bottom down. Everything is, think about it this way. If you go to a dead body and touch it, it's not going to respond because the soul left. That's what makes the body lifeless. The soul is the life. So when God designs you and creates you, he puts your soul into your body, and the way you look kind of pushes out from your soul. That's why when a person is sad, it gives them stress marks. Not because the body is getting the stress marks, because the soul is not getting the food that it needs, and it wears you out. That's why having bitachon in Hashem actually gives you a longer life, because when you're at peace and at ease and you live your life with full confidence in Hashem, it shows on your skin. You could be 70 and look 50, because everything is perfectly designed. So you should know that your soul goes into your body, pushes out into your external appearance too. So nothing is random. Your birthmarks, the way you look, the shape of yourself, your name, your birthday, the time you were born, nothing is random, nothing is coincidence. I don't believe in Googling what's my birthday and reading the astrology. I don't believe in that. But if a person wants to study Sefer Yetzirah and to really learn God's wisdom, not Google. Yes, obviously, if you read online, while I'm passionate, I'm caring, I'm empathetic, every human being has a percentage of all these traits. So it's kind of ironic in a way.
But you mentioned you were Gemini.
Yeah, Teomim. Teomim, which means the twin sign, meaning multiple personalities. I have more than two, 100%. But I didn't find it on Google. I had a rabbi read me and tell me things about myself. So, just goes to show that nothing is random, nothing is coincidental. And even when a person thinks that, well, my mazal, I feel, is for me to be poor. And when Avraham Avinu came to the Jewish nation, when Hashem came to Avraham, he told him to look ma'ala mazal, look above the mazal. Whatever you think is destined for you, you can change anything. With proper diligence, prayer, connection to Hashem, learning Torah, staying on the right track, believing in yourself, having no caps for your success, having no caps for your greatness. Because again, I didn't think I would be here today. But one thing about me, and I'm not trying to gloat, chas v'shalom, just to share, I don't put limitations on myself. I don't know where I'm going to go, but one thing I always tell God is, Hashem, you know me better than I know myself. You take me and you put me. Like, you know that emoji, the pin? You take me like this, you put me there. I approve all these messages. Whatever, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. And I just live my life that way. And it's easy, because it's almost like I was living in New York 15 years and now I'm in Miami. Where am I going to end up next? I hope it's Israel, but we'll see what God has in store for me. And my rabbi, the same thing. He met his wife and then she didn't want to go out with him. And he happens to forget names. My rabbi is very forgetful. And a year later, they refer to him the same shidduch. And then since he forgot her name, he went out with her. And now they're married with 5 children. So it just goes to show that God didn't design him with forgetfulness. We should really bring him here one day. He lives in Queens. Bet Hashem, he will give you guys an amazing class. We'll make a big night for him. But if you just goes to show that if God didn't design him with forgetfulness, he wouldn't have met his wife. And they thought they were going to live in Israel. They went to Tokyo, to Orlando. Now he's one of the biggest rabbis in Queens. So it just goes to show that everything about you that you might think is bad or negative, that's what makes you you. My name is Jonathan Ben Shimon. Thank you all for coming. And I approve this message. May Hashem bless you all to a long, a healthy, and a happy life.